This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York.
Oh, Frankie. Good old Frank Sinatra. He sang about New York. He sang about Chicago. He sang about California. He sang about everything. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my friend and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Friday morning, September 27th, last Friday of the month. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Daniel Ortner of the Pacific Legal Foundation about a requirement at a California university that if you want to get tenure as a professor, you've got to submit to a diversity test. Can you believe that? A diversity test. So we'll talk to him about that. And were you watching the hearings yesterday? Adam Schiff and his merry men, the Democrats grilling the acting director of national intelligence about the phone call that Trump made with Ukraine in an open hearing. Well, we're going to ask the proprietor of the Barber poll how the people in mainstream America feel about the whole thing and if the president is any closer to impeachment. And for those of you that remember our show, we bring back campus quackery today as a teacher administers a quiz to the children. And one of the questions is Donald Trump's occupation. And one of the choices is idiot. Kind of funny. we're gonna talk about that. And great Ultimate Top 10, Freedom Works Top 10, the Top 10 One-Hit Wonders of All Time. I'm going to find out if Ed knows some of those or remembers any of those. We're going to have some fun. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in the Tampa Bay area. Where is it located? In Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of Route 580. You got to get there if you want a great haircut and having your haircut done while you enjoy yourself, because it's always a great mood. It's a nice-looking barbershop, and you're going to have some real experts. They're going to give you the best haircut you've ever had. Wait till you see it, and it's a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, we're on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern, but you can listen to us anytime because Big Ed sets up our podcast. So go to ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button at the top. You can listen to us anytime you want. Hey, you can listen to us at 2 in the morning. I sound good when you're laying in bed. I think I sound better when you're sleeping, actually. That's what Ed told me. He falls asleep to me. Well, we got a lot to talk about, an awful lot. I can't wait to talk with Dan Ortner. By the way, the University of California, Davis, is the school we're going to talk about. A diversity test for the professors there. My goodness. In the meantime, you know, they've been talking about Donald Trump's terrible phone call with the president of Ukraine. The whistleblower is outraged. He didn't hear the phone call. He wasn't even in. He's probably 25 miles away. He didn't hear it, but he read a report about it. That got him upset, so he became a whistleblower. Somehow he gets some. What's the word for somebody that gets put up on a pedestal like that? Gravitas. He gets gravitas. As if somehow he knows something more than everybody else. However, Some top Republicans are pushing to identify the people that told the whistleblower about the phone call, who passed on the information. You know, it's supposed to be privileged conversation when a president talks with another country's president, but apparently not for Trump. So who are the people that were listening in or were taking the notes or were in the room or whatever that passed on the info to the whistleblower? You know, by the time you get something that's second or third hand, I guarantee you it's not accurate. It's always screwed up.
Do we have a name and a face to this whistleblower?
We know it's a man.
Oh, well, that narrows it down.
So that eliminates half of...
That's half the population.
Population, okay, that's number one. Number two, he's apparently connected to the Central Intelligence Agency in some way, shape, or form. He's part of the CIA.
And no document?
No.
Well,
he got hearsay.
But when you charge somebody, just go down to the courthouse and charge somebody. Don't you need some sort of...
Of course.
Hard evidence.
And that's the first thing you'll hear from any lawyer. This would go nowhere in court. Nowhere.
This is in high school. I heard so-and-so was going out. So-and-so.
They act like grade school, though. Did you watch any of that, Ed?
Come on. I eat about that time. No.
Well, Congressman Andy Biggs, he is a Republican on the committee, says that the administration has an apparent leak problem. He said if they're leaking something that's supposed to be classified, then that is where the criminality occurs.
They're leaking some, but it's coming out the other end.
Yes. So they want to see the sources for the whistleblower. So we'll see about that. I think eventually there's lots of people in Washington. I bet a lot of these reporters know who it is, too.
I bet you whoever this is in some room being coached 24 hours a day.
They did mention that the way the report came out, it looked like it was lawyered up. In other words, it had all the lawyerese language in it. The whistleblower's report.
Just like the women that came out, you know.
Yeah.
They were all
lawyered
too.
Up. And, yeah. So it'll be very, very interesting. The guy also apparently can't stand Trump, and he was a... proponent of one of the people that are running against him. Now, it could be a Democrat or could even be another Republican. But
better not be Hillary. He might wind up getting whacked.
I don't think, you know, after hearing all of this stuff about Joe Biden, I don't think he's long for this president's nomination.
He's
business.
Not the type that can bounce back from something like
no
that.
No matter how they try to cover up the fact that he contacted Ukraine and demanded that they fire the prosecutor that was looking into his son's Ukrainian utility. That is a perfect quid pro quo because he said, you won't get the money. He's on tape saying it. Now there, of course, they won't look into that.
No.
At least not right now. But they'll be talking about it. Anyway, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk with a gentleman from the Pacific Legal Foundation about diversity of thought or non-diversity of thought at the University of California, Davis.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back again, and we thank you very much for joining us on this Friday morning. Delighted to have Daniel Ortner of the Pacific Legal Foundation with us. He has penned a piece in the PLF website. Don't expect diversity of thought at the University of California. Dan, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. I of course, we're not surprised anymore, are we, when universities try to limit the speech of either their students or their professors. But you write in your article that in the University of California system, every applicant for a tenure track position must submit an equity, diversity, and inclusion statement describing the candidate's experiences and commitment to diversity. First of all, if I was trying to get tenure and they asked me that question and I really needed the money, I would make something up if I didn't have something. I'll bet you a bunch of them are just fantasizing. Your thoughts on that?
Yep. Absolutely. I think this encourages applicants to use the same, you know, buzzwords to conform their ideas to the ideas they know the university wants. And this is not just for tenure, it's actually for new hires as well throughout the system. And then in some schools, they've started using it for tenure and retention and promotion decisions as well. That's the new step they're just starting to take.
I mean, this is like a lockstep. Now, you even mentioned this, that back in the 50s, California's public universities, you know, were worried, I guess, about communism. A lot of people were. There were those McCarthy hearings we all hear about now. And even on campus, loyalty oath. So is this sort of like that in a different way?
I think it is. First of all, you know, as Gordon mentioned, the Supreme Court very clearly said those loyalty oaths are unconstitutional. You can't require someone to pledge loyalty to a set of ideas. You can't discriminate against the viewpoint of someone. If they disagree with the official orthodoxy, the government cannot discriminate against them. So that's a key First Amendment principle. And I think that's exactly what University of California is doing. If you look at the rubrics that some of the schools are using, Davis and Berkeley and Santa Cruz are the three worst culprits. If you look at the rubrics they're using, they actively say, if you express a viewpoint that diversity and inclusion, you know, schools should be colorblind. They should be neutral towards issues of race. They shouldn't have programs outreach to minorities because it harms them or stigmatizes them in some fashion. If you say that, you are going to be dinged in your application. You're going to get a low score on this diversity statement, and you're likely not going to be hired. So that's a blatant form of viewpoint discrimination, where if you do not pledge loyalty to the views that the university wants you to hold, you can't be hired.
I think it's common, not just at the California universities. I think you have like a diversity department in almost, it would seem to me, in quite a few quite a few schools, right across the country.
Yeah, California right now is on the forefront, at least with these statements. Other schools are starting to adopt them. I know University of Michigan has started, for instance, moving in this direction. There are other schools that are doing so, but UC Davis in particular right now is very much at the forefront. The big change that's happened in the past couple of years is now, these statements used to be considered as one factor among all the factors of an applicant. You know, you consider their academics, their service, their other skills, and you also consider their diversity contribution. Now what UC Davis is doing is this is going to be the first thing that a faculty, a panel considering a candidate sees, and it's going to be a gateway. So if you don't get a passing score on your diversity statement, they're not even going to consider you on the merit. That's the new and very radical step. What it's going to do is it's going to take the power away from the faculty that actually make academic decisions about merits and put it in the hands of those diversity bureaucrats and impose a complete ideological conformity on all applicants.
You know, this is very scary. We're talking with Daniel Ortner. He's an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. And we're talking about diversity, forced diversity, you might call it, at the University of California. You know, they used to be environments of free speech, and particularly out in California. You'd look at Berkeley and say, well, look at all of these radicals that go there, you know, with these different viewpoints. Now, if you're not in a certain lockstep, I mean, it's the opposite of free speech, isn't it?
Right. It really is. What's really sad is that in the name of diversity, they're cutting down on intellectual diversity, which is really, like you said, the hallmark of a university. Imagine, you know, today, one of the things they evaluate for these candidates is their research. If their research is seen as contributing to diversity, or they list things like fighting economic inequality, for instance, kind of liberal buzzwords, and they'll say, well, if your research fits these categories, you're going to get a good score on the statement. On the other hand, if you're a classic economics professor who believes in free markets, if you're a law professor who doesn't believe in affirmative action and teaches that it violates the 14th Amendment, if you don't fit into these categories, your research is going to be devalued and your ideas are not going to be allowed to be, you know, you're not going to be hired, so your students are never going to hear these ideas on campus. So every step, it's pushing towards conformity towards liberal ideas about diversity and excluding all other ideas. And that's not what the university is supposed to stand for.
I guess most of these professors under this system don't really complain too much because I guess most of them, possibly a goodly percentage, see the diversity idea as fine. And, of course, all of this bleeds down to the students. And they're taught a kind of a one-track mind philosophy. So they become kind of, I wonder if they're afraid to speak up or they're afraid to put their opinions down in their papers that they submit. It becomes, you know, it's funny. Once you get out of school, is it like you then get slapped side the head when you see the reality of the world and it isn't this this little ivory castle thing that you've been in? You know, for the past 4 years,
we're creating a generation of students that are, you know, brittle. Like they'll see someone who they disagree with, and they immediately want to go complain that they're offending them or hurting them. And I think you're right. When people get out to the real world, they realize, you know, that they hopefully realize not everyone thinks like a professor in a university or like the student body there. That there is diversity of thought.
Mm-hmm.
I worry that we're creating a whole generation that can't handle disagreement without being offended or without seeking the government intervention to stop speech that offends them or that they disagree with.
So is there any legal action? Let's say a student or let's say a professor goes, you know what, I'm not signing any stinking diversity requirement. Can he go to court and force the university to retract something like this?
Yeah, I believe so. I think there's a very strong First Amendment claim. There's some other claims under the California Labor Code that there's prohibitions on imposing a political test on candidates for a job. There's also the Proposition 209, which requires race-neutral and gender-neutral hiring and admissions in university settings that I also believe is being violated. The biggest challenge right now is finding a professor who is willing to challenge the university. Like you said, most of them, unfortunately, are very complacent and supportive. That's part of why we're speaking out and looking for those who are might have the courage to stand up and say, no, this is not consistent with the First Amendment. This is not consistent with what the university should stand for. Really looking for a brave faculty who are willing to do that. It's unfortunately harder to find, hard to find, as you might imagine.
We're talking with Daniel Ortner. He is an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation, about a piece he has penned on their website, Don't Expect Diversity of Thought at the University of California. Dan, are all the public universities in California, are they all required to follow this thing? Is this just UC Davis?
It's just in the University of California system, so not other not schools that are not under the UC umbrella. And then it's being gradually rolled out at different schools. For instance, like I said, UC Davis, UC Berkeley, and UC Santa Cruz are the biggest culprits. They're moving this the furthest away from its original idea, which was, it's an additional consideration to recognize what faculty members are doing. They've made this a core requirement, and other schools are less far advanced. UC Santa Barbara, for instance, doesn't even require yet a separate statement. They're still at the point where you can talk about it in your own, your personal statement, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the least advanced. But they're all moving in this direction. There was a memo in January of this year urging or directing all of the schools to continue to move towards adopting these statements, and also to adopt this for faculty retention and tenure decisions in the next 2 years. So I think in the next couple of years, all of the schools in the UC system are going to be moving further and further in the direction that Davis and Santa Cruz and Berkeley are currently in.
I see.
It's hard to imagine how much further they are going to go as well.
Yes.
In that time.
This is not really directly related, but I was going to talk about it later on the show. Did you know UCLA was given a $20 million grant to study kindness and mindfulness? Now, I think that's perfectly fine, by the way, because they took the money saying, yes, we will study kindness and mindfulness. It's coming from the Bhandari Foundation, by the way, which helped establish the UCLA Bhandari Kindness Institute. Are you familiar with that at all?
No, it's first I'm hearing of it. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I think it's maybe not the most important research.
No.
But certainly we could use more kindness in our society
yes.
and civility, so I don't mind it, but I think that what the actions of the UC system go contrary to that idea, which is kindness requires being willing to hear different ideas and have different people with different viewpoints and respect people for what they believe. And I think that, unfortunately, the actions, I think, speak louder than the words in this case, where what they're doing is telling people, if you don't think like us, if you don't view diversity like us, you're not going to be welcome.
It's actually the, if you think about it, it's the opposite of tolerance, isn't it? If you say, look, we want diversity, we want you to submit a statement about your diversity background, what you've done, it's like we only tolerate you here if we can see that you are being good about diversity. I mean, it's a real litmus test.
And when they use the word diversity, they in theory it could mean all kinds of diversity. It could mean political diversity. It could mean religious diversity. Really what they're after is only race and gender diversity. And when you look at the documents of what they're proposing, it's very clear. UC Davis had a pilot program where it was these open positions where you were kind of cross-departmental and your only main qualification was this diversity statement. And in that proposal, they're very clear. When we say underrepresented minorities, we mean blacks, we mean Hispanics, we mean Native Americans, and we mean women in certain departments, and that's it. So that's what they're talking about with diversity. They're not talking about diversity, religious diversity, socioeconomic diversity, geographic diversity. They're talking about a couple of very specific forms of diversity, and those are the ones that are prohibited by Proposition 209 from even being considered in California. So they're violating the California Constitution and the First Amendment. And they're not really talking about diversity in the way that really when we talk about it, we mean, which is the full spectrum of everything that makes us different from each other. They're talking about only very specific characteristics and classifications.
Yeah. What they all need out there is a good dose of common sense, actually. I want to thank you so much, Dan, for showing up with us and talking about this very interesting topic. I know you guys will be staying on that. Maybe we can change things out there. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. We're hoping to find a way to get them to change it, either suing them or putting government pressure some way to get them to change these policies that I think really are harming intellectual diversity.
Keep up the good fight, Daniel.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. All right. There he goes. Daniel Ortner of the Pacific Legal Foundation. Take our break. And when we come back, we invite the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, to join us as we talk a little bit about this whole nonsense about the Trump-Ukraine telephone call and what the Democrats are trying to do to him.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
You have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you'll share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for joining us on this Friday morning. And as per usual at this time every Friday, we have a great opportunity to talk with the proprietor of the most important pole in America, the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, the master barber. And Andrew, I'm sure you were watching with rapt attention when Adam Schiff and his little band of merry men were hosting that whistleblower topic yesterday on television. Wanted to find out what you think. Do you think we're any closer now to Donald Trump being impeached because of this hearing?
You know, Paul, first of all, it was a circus yesterday. We all seen that. You see when, what's his name, Little Schmidt there, sat there and made his parody of what's going on. Yeah, it was a bunch of baloney. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me tell you what's going to happen here. This is my prediction. Okay, I even wondered to a point if this might have been a setup for Trump himself. But now, if they go to impeach him, right?
Yeah.
What's going to happen is they take their vote, then it goes to the Senate, right?
Yes.
Now, when it goes to the Senate has the right to subpoena anybody as witnesses to this, okay? This is why they're not going to let it happen. Because if it goes to the Senate, you know who they're going to be bringing in as witnesses, don't you, to question for everything? They're going to bring in Lisa Page, Susan Rice, what's his name, Barr there?
William
not
Barr.
Barr. I can't think of his name. His wife was at Fusion GPS. Bill Orr.
Orr and his wife.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then they're going to bring in Comey, McCabe. They're going to bring all of them in as witnesses, you understand? Because they have a right to subpoena them. They don't want to do that. So what they're going to do, and this is what I think is happening too, is they got a feeling that the Judge Ginsburg he's not going to be around too long, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Trump is up for investigation, he cannot choose a new judge for the Supreme Court under investigation. So if they let this go and they bring up an investigation against Donald Trump, they're going to make it last until the 2020 election, hoping that they get their candidate in to pick that next Supreme Court judge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they're going to want to put all these witnesses in the courtroom with the Senate, because that's going to blow up everything.
Well, I wrote all of this down just in case. No, this is pretty interesting. Well, you know, I heard something yesterday, Andrew. I wonder if you heard this, and I did not realize it, but did you know that we signed a treaty when Bill Clinton was president? We signed a treaty with Ukraine on mutual legal assistance and criminal matters, which basically establishes a range of cooperation between the Ukraine and the United States. So if that is the case, Donald Trump has some firm legal underpinning.
That's right.
To ask
That's
questions.
Right. I didn't
Did you know
that
about
either.
That? It's a treaty with Ukraine. It's called the Mutual Legal Assistance Treaty.
Paul, you know, he didn't mention nothing about money. He didn't bribe anything.
No.
All he said is, I'd like you to check into this. And you know what? I believe that's the president's right to have somebody check
well,
out.
Well, not only
Especially
that,
if there's things
we got a
criminal
treaty.
Offenses going on. That's right. There's a treaty.
Now,
so
I got to give Jesse Waters of the Fox News the credit. He's the one that brought it up. He somehow found this treaty that probably nobody in Congress.
Nobody knows.
They're not aware of it, but it's no. there. So he's got a legal. So the other thing, of course, is this whistleblower, and he hasn't. He didn't hear the conversation. He got it like second or third hand, and somehow he's now authorized.
Oh, Paul. Did you read the letter yesterday at all?
Yes.
I read the letter that they brought in.
Hey,
listen, a commoner did not write that letter. You know, it was written by an attorney, period.
Of course.
There's no question about it. A commoner would have been one page, maybe, with none of the lingo they got in there whatsoever.
No, it was lawyered up. The whole thing was lawyered up.
It was all lawyered up. This is nothing but another stunt to try and pull a couple things on Donald Trump. I don't see nothing coming out of this, but now, I was reading something the other day that the governors, okay, I didn't know that they do this, but they're trying to get Nancy Pelosi impeached.
Really?
They took a vote yesterday. The governor's conference is called. They took a vote yesterday, and the vote was 32 to impeach Nancy Pelosi and 18 not to, okay? So now it goes to the Senate, and the Senate has been preparing for this because they're gonna oust her. It's the same procedure they go through to impeach the president. So they've been preparing for a trial for Nancy Pelosi.
How do governors have any say?
I have no idea.
No, they have no say in federal impeachment.
It's the governor's conference. That's all I could tell you. And then it goes to the Senate.
I see.
From what I understand, what I was reading yesterday.
Okay. Well, I've never not heard that one, but...
I never have either. It popped up and I was reading and I thought, hey, maybe this is. Who knows? But like you said, I didn't think the governors had anything to do with the federal government either. But maybe I'm wishing it's a true one, you know? Who knows?
Indeed. Now, we're talking with the Master Barber. He's got the barber pole. That is the best pole because it's the common man's touch. What those people are really thinking. Well, go ahead.
Let me tell you something else.
Yeah.
I went out Tuesday night with the Trump Club, and I went to waving signs for Trump.
You were?
We figured I went up. It was on Highland Boulevard and Gulf to Bay. There was about 50 of us there. Now, I can tell you this. 3 years ago, when I was holding up signs on those streets for Donald Trump, I was getting cigarette butts thrown at me, the finger all day long, diapers thrown at me.
Diapers?
All kinds of booze. Oh, yeah. I ducked and it hit the person behind me. But anyway, and I went out Tuesday night. It was a whole nother story, my friend. People were going by, blowing their horns like crazy, putting their thumbs up. This guy's got a big back end, believe me. And what was amazing, as I was standing right at the intersection where the stoplight was, you know?
Yes.
The people would come up and pull up and stop, and they'd give you the thumbs up and stuff. But nobody blow their horn until the light turned green. The minute it turned green, they're all blowing their horns while they're taking off.
Is that
it's
right?
Like it's like they were afraid to blow their horns, not knowing what would happen while they're stopped, you know?
Well, you know, right here in Tampa Bay, they always say that it is a great harbinger of what people across the country think. In other words, you pretty much have what's going on in the country if you would ever take a poll right in the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, probably because there's so many people from so many different places.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you, I was really surprised at the response Tuesday night, man. When I tell you his backing had quadrupled compared to 3 years ago, that's the proof to me. I've seen it. Go ahead.
No, I have a simple question. Do you think Joe Biden will still be running for president in 2 months?
No.
No.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be Elizabeth Warren, or somebody's going to come riding out on the horse, you know, to be the savior. But I think it's going to be Elizabeth Warren. And she already told the men not to vote for her. She said she doesn't need men's votes whatsoever to win. So we want to remember that, men out there. But anyway, I don't think there's too many men that I know that would. Oh, yeah.
She doesn't need no stinking men. Don't you vote for
me? She does not need men to vote for her, and she could win without the men.
I see.
But I can tell you this. There isn't a man comes in my barbershop that would vote for her anyway.
Well, I'm going to tie Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden together because she was asked a question by a reporter if it would be ethical if her hypothetical vice president's son served on the board of a foreign company, just like Joe Biden's son did with that Ukraine. She hemmed, she hawed, she stammered. She said originally, she says no, and before pausing to rethink it, then she said, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to go back and look at the details. Okay. So, here's the deal. I think probably deep down, she's thinking, this is wonderful. I'm about to get the guy that's in front of me knocked off the pedestal. And she's not gonna bring it up, right? She's not gonna bring it up. But I'll bet she's giddy every time the idea comes up that Joe Biden pressured the head of Ukraine at the time when he was vice president to fire the prosecutor that was looking into Hunter Biden's company, a Ukrainian utility company that Hunter Biden had no damn business being on because he has no damn experience at all with utilities.
$83,000 a month, Paul. Can you imagine that for a salary?
Now, isn't that a quid pro quo? I'm not going to give you this money.
Oh, yeah.
I am not going to give you this money, Ukraine, unless you fire that prosecutor looking into that utility company.
And he said it right on tape, Paul, that he did it.
I know.
He got him on video. And, you know, I guess one of John Kerry's comrades were also involved in that company, too.
Yes.
It's coming out.
That's correct.
It's coming out.
There is somebody involved in the John Kerry family. I don't know if it's John Kerry's son.
That's what I heard.
I think there is a connection with his family. So you got Kerry, you got Biden. Now, they can get away with it, according to the press. That's okay. We don't talk about that.
That's right. Biden, we haven't heard a word about Biden doing this.
That's right.
Like I said, he admits it on tape, but the press isn't going to say nothing. But, you know, like Trump says, man, it's all fake news. These stations are all owned by liberal companies. And that's what's happening. You know, the Democrats have got the press on their side. They've got nothing else but that.
I'm going to be interested to see the latest polls. I mean, they're trying to slap Donald Trump around, but I've noticed his favorability polls have gone up.
Rasmussen is at 53%, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's despite what they're doing. Can you imagine what he would be at if the press wasn't attacking him every day?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, this poor guy, I don't know where he gets the strength to stand up for what he's doing, but I tell you what, I'm glad he's there. And I think this whole thing is going to blow up in their face like they've never seen, Paul.
Now, when people come into Andrew's Master Barbershop, you give them, of course you're going to get a great haircut, but I want to ask you, do you get a sense of the people? I would imagine most of the people that come in and have been going to your place for a while kind of share your political philosophy. Not all of them do.
Not all of them.
Do you ever get a good argument? I mean, does a guy that you're cutting hair ever give you a really good argument? You have to say, you know what? He's making some good points, although he's 180 degrees different than me.
No, Paul, I had one yesterday, and I get a kick out of this guy. I really like him, but he comes in yesterday. And he says, oh, they're going to get your boy. I'm telling you, he's going down. I says, you know what? I says, you say this to me all the time. How about this time in our life we put our money where our mouth is? I says, I got $500 that by the end of this year, President Trump is still your president.
And what did he say?
Oh, no, I can't do that. I says, well, you're so sure of yourself. I says, I'm sure of myself, and you're telling me that you're sure of yourself. Let's put our money where our mouth is. He wouldn't do it. I got the same answer from him that I get out of every liberal that comes around. I ask a liberal that comes around, so tell me what you're saying that Trump did so bad. Give me an example. You know what I hear?
What?
That's all I get. They got no answers, Bob. I'm telling you, nothing. Now, well, we just don't like them.
Okay, now let me ask you another question. At the risk of changing the patrons, you do allow people that are able to come in and get a haircut, right? You're not going to give them a bad haircut.
Of course, right? No. I might put a DT in the back of their head that they don't know about, but other than that, nothing, no. They're all welcome here if they want to listen. I'm willing to listen to them, but they can't make a conversation.
All right, but it's all right for them to come in and they can get a great haircut.
I don't want to cut them. Go ahead. And you know what?
Wow.
I'll even give them a Valium at the end if they need to be calmed down when we're finished. I don't know. But,
okay.
I mean, it's usually a good time when one of them comes in, believe me, because there's usually 10 other guys that are sitting there listening, and all of a sudden they all get in on it and forget about it. The poor guy doesn't stand a chance.
By the way, I haven't heard from your dear brother Angelo. I was hoping he would call us one of these days because I can imagine he's got a lot of things to say about what's going on in New York.
He's going crazy to want to get on the radio show. He called
Tell
me last
call.
Night. And I said, yeah. I said, well, you know, I'm going
to
get.
Tell
I'll
him
talk
call.
With Paul and we'll get you on there. I will. I'll tell him to give you a call. We'll get in on next Wednesday. We'll get him on.
Yeah,
how's that?
That's great. Or have him call Monday. You know,
I will. Matter of fact, I'll have him call Monday.
Mondays are good days.
He's got a lot to say, believe me. You got no idea.
You tell Angelo I'm looking forward to hearing from him on Monday. Folks, for those of you that don't know, Angelo has as much an interest in politics as does his dear brother here. And he's a little different in his thinking, obviously, but he always makes some great points about what people up in New York, the state of New York, are thinking.
Beautiful.
All right.
He'll be tickled, believe me, all weekend. He's not going to be able to sleep.
I hope he can. All right. Thank you, my dear friend. And we will
all
be
right,
talking
Paul.
With you next week again, Andrew.
You take care, buddy.
All
Bye-bye.
Right. There he is, Andrew the Master Barber. All right. Let's take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to bring back campus quackery. So stay tuned for that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Hello, Americans. My name is Bill Cochran, and my live radio show, Only in America, is on Tantalk every Tuesday evening between 6 and 7. MyPillow helps sponsor my show. The Buy One Premium MyPillow and Get One Premium MyPillow absolutely free deal is back just in time for Christmas. The pillow comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Call 800-954-9168 or order online at MyPillow.com. Use promo code Bill. For the Buy One, Get One free offer, 800-954-9168 or online, promo code Bill.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Dum, 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 ooh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, and thank you very much for being with us on this Friday morning. Before we get to our, what I would call campus quackery story, on a related issue, and we talked about it a little earlier in our interview, the UCLA has been given a $20 million grant to study kindness and mindfulness. It's from Jennifer and Matthew Harris of the Bendari Foundation. And here's what they say. Universities should always be places where we teach students to reach across lines of difference and treat one another with empathy and respect, even when we deeply disagree. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. That makes good sense. Goes on to say, the UCLA Bendari Kindness Institute will bring the best thinking to this vital issue and I think will allow us to have a real social impact on future generations. You know, at first I laughed at this, but then I thought, you know, kindness always seems to break the ice between people. If you're kind to them, they remember it. You know, they're going to remember something that you do for somebody for a long time. You remember as a kid when somebody did something nice for you and how much you remember that, you know? So, I don't know. At first, it's kind of funny, but here it goes on to say, much research is needed to understand why kindness can be so scarce in the modern world. Of course, in Washington, you don't see any kindness, do you? It's all take one side and hold your ground. But it says, as we seek to bridge the divide between science and spirituality, we hope to educate and empower more and more people in the practice of kindness. So there you go. Kindness, right? All right. It is time for dusting off our Wilbur the Duck. Wilbur! He's still alive. That's so great. Listen to this, Ed. A Florida middle school teacher has been reassigned after an online quiz question for kids referred to President Trump as an idiot. The school district of Palm Beach, you know, not far from us, opened an investigation at Watson Duncan Middle School after a child told his dad about the question, and the dad then alerted the administrators. Here was the question. 45th president, 2017, Republican, real estate businessman, idiot. Those are the three things. You could choose one of them, apparently.
Wow.
It's kind of funny at first, but I mean, to put that down on a test. The four choices about the 45th president, the 2017 Republican, real estate businessman, idiot, were choices for either Trump, Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon, and Jimmy Carter. So apparently Trump was the idiot, right? That was the answer. All right. So the guy that blew the whistle on this thing, he said, the parent, this was an actual question on my daughter's test today. Going to raise some hell with the principal is what he said. So there you go. Okay. And thank you for Wilbur. Nice to hear him. You can put him back in his cage. Ed, before we get to the top 10, by the way, the top 10 is great. And I think you may know some of these one-hit wonders. Mm-hmm. But I got to ask you about the Tampa Bay Rays. This is the last. We're going into the final weekend of the regular season. I think the Rays look like they're going to be one of those two wild card teams in the American League. I want to get your thought.
They swept the Yankees just recently.
Wow,
two
that's
games,
great.
You know. Arguably the best team in baseball as far as hitting this year.
They lead the American League.
Yeah, held them to one run in two games. And then Cleveland did them a favor last night by losing again. So I believe the magic number is now one out of the next three, and the Rays are in.
There's Oakland, Cleveland, and the Rays that are vying
Oakland,
for two.
It's Oakland, the Rays, and then Cleveland is now two games behind the Rays.
And we only got about
Three games left.
They
have to go to Toronto for three games.
So if we win one game out of these three, do you think we'll be
should
in?
Be tonight, should hopefully. Be tonight. Yeah. Wow. They're up in Toronto.
Going to watch it then.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Go.
I just hope when the playoffs come back here,
we got some people in the stands.
Yeah, I hope the drop is sold out. It has to be.
Yeah. Now, did we have good crowds for these two games with the Yankees?
Well, of course the Yankees, you know.
So we should have had a decent crowd, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go Rays. I got to say that. All right. Because my Cubs got eliminated. They've lost eight straight.
You think Joe Madden's gone?
I'm wondering about Joe. I would say he better start.
Didn't they just win the series?
Picking up next year at the beginning of the year.
Didn't they just win the World Series like 2 years ago?
They beat Cleveland in the World Series, but it was more than, it was about 3 years ago.
Okay, well, three.
Yeah, time flies, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, we have a great top 10. These are the top 10 one-hit wonders of all time, as noted by Rolling Stone magazine. They say oldies are still goodies. That's at least according to Rolling Stone, which surveyed its readers to learn which tunes they believe to be the best one-hit wonders. So here we go. Number 10. Turning Japanese.
Oh, yeah, I remember that song.
By The Vapors.
Yes.
1980. You remember that? I have any idea what that song is. Was it good?
Yeah, it was fast song. Turning Japanese.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
I never understood the words.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9. This one I remember. 96 Tears. By Question Mark and the Mysterians. Do you remember?
I don't. That doesn't. 96 Tears.
No. Yeah, it's going on. 96 Tears.
Nope.
Nope. Well.
That didn't help either.
You're lucky I don't sing more of it. Okay, number 8. Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
I Get Knocked Down. They used that a lot in the stadium when Mike Allstott was running the ball.
I don't know.
Knocked down.
Okay. Ah, well, it came out in 1997. Number 7. No Rain by Blind Melon. Do you remember that song?
No
Rain. Came out in 1993. No Rain. Okay. Number 6. I remember this one, My Sharona. My Sharona by The Knack. And that one came out in 1979. It was kind of a hip-hoppy song.
My Sharona.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That was it. Yep. That's it. Okay, number 5. Tainted Love.
Oh, yeah.
By Soft Cell. You remember that?
Tainted Love. That was it.
Now, Ed used to be a disc jockey,
He used to play spin records. You know how many people used to ask for that, though? That was a lot.
Is that true?
Yeah. Tainted Love.
Okay, it goes back to 1981. Tainted Love. Okay, number 4. In a Big Country.
Nope.
It was sung by Big Country in 1983, and I don't recall that song at all. Number 3. Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah, we play that here.
Yeah. I like that song.
Yep.
Norman Greenbaum recorded it in 1969. Number 2. Come On, Eileen.
Come on, Eileen.
Remember that by Dexy's Midnight Runners?
Yep.
Very good that you remember it. All right. I want to ask you, Ed, what do you think is the number one top 10 one-hit wonder of all time?
You know, I was going to say Milli Vanilli's song, but they were even fake themselves.
Yeah.
They never sang the same song.
I don't really know,
because there was a lot.
I'll tell you what I would have guessed. There was a song called Hey Baby by Bruce Chanel, but it goes back to the 60s. Yeah, you may not remember.
No, we've played that here.
Yeah, and I liked it, but that's not it either. The number one song is...
Is it from the 80s?
Yes.
They're picking on the 80s.
It was sung by a group called A-ha.
Oh, Take On Me?
Yes!
Yes, okay.
You remember it?
Yes, I do.
You really do?
But it was a hit.
Yes!
And you know what? That's one of the biggest...
Yes, that's why it's a one-hit wonder.
It's one of the biggest videos of all time.
How does it go?
Music videos.
Take On Me.
Take On Me.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember it.
One of the biggest videos of all time.
Yeah.
Back in...
1984.
VH1 days, you know?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yes, I do.
And you just sat around the TV and watched that all the time.
Take On Me. You're right. And it's number one. It came out in 1984. So there you go, my friends. All right. Thank you so very much for joining us. We will be back Monday, 10 a.m. sharp. Always remember, freedom works. Give it.